You're listening to a live broadcast of the Hour of the Time. I bet some of you thought you'd never hear another live broadcast. But the best of the Hour of the Time is still the best, and there are many of you who have never heard it, and there's much, much, much more. See, every once in a while we have to do these things, folks. One gives me a chance to go out and do some work elsewhere, and I've been very busy. Did a stint with Lou Upton on his show in Las Vegas. Traveled all over the place, talked to an awful lot of people, found out an awful lot of things. And some of it we'll be imparting to you. Some of it is still under investigation and will be imparted to you when we finish the investigation. Now, right off the bat, I got to tell you, Clinton's coming down. Clinton's on his way out. His own party has turned against him. When you hear the socialist Marxist press attacking a Marxist president, it's all over for him. They have decided that he is a liability. Clinton is under attack by his own people, by his own press. That can only mean one thing. He's history. Things are coming out about Whitewater and Mena, Arkansas, that will ensure that, I can guarantee you. Some of the things I can tell you, some of the things I cannot. But I can tell you this. You can look for an announcement imminently from the Arkansas grand jury. Could come as early as tomorrow, but probably sometime this week, maybe tomorrow. Hillary has been caught with her pants down, so to speak. The evidence is there. There's no way that she can escape an indictment. It's already been made in secret. I told you when that was a long time ago. For those who've been listening to this show since its inception, isn't it strange that now the main establishment media is talking about things that were covered on this broadcast 3 years ago? What's the book that everybody's talking about on all the talk shows across the country? Alvin Toffler's The Third Wave. You heard about it on this broadcast 3 years ago when I told you to read it because it was a harbinger of things to come. That's right, folks. You listen to the Hour of the Time, you're at least 3 years ahead of everybody else. You heard all of the things that are coming out now about the Vince Foster murder and Whitewatergate on this broadcast before any other broadcast in the country. You heard me read a written report from Larry Nichols before anybody else even heard of Larry Nichols. So, stick around. It can only get worse, believe me, and it will.
Your mind.
Yes, folks. We also know who tried to set us up here with that phony attempted kidnap charge. We know who it was, and we know who the accomplice is. And I'm going to tell you right now, if they don't put a stop to it, the instigator and the accomplice are probably going to do some time behind bars. Yep, we even have the proof. There's a turncoat here, folks. And I don't want to do this to them, simply because it would hurt a lot of other people. So if they're listening tonight, a word to the wise should suffice. If they take it any further, they're going to find themselves behind bars. While I'm at it, I might apologize to the St. John's police and the highway patrol, whom we sort of castigated that night when it was all up in the air, when we didn't know who the setup artist was. Now we do. Had nothing to do with the police, the ATF, or the FBI, or the highway patrol. These guys were set up too. And I'll be having some long talks with the sheriff and chief of police within the next few days. Now, I just got back, just walked in, haven't talked to anybody here. In fact, there was no attempted kidnapping, period. The whole thing was made up. And yeah, there are people right here in this town who were paying attention and know what was going on. So, like I said, it's not carried any further. We won't carry it any further. But if it is, they're going down. Big time. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to open the phones tonight and talk. How many of you saw the thing on TV with what's-her-name and what's-his-name and the supposed militia man? And Rubin? Secretary of the Treasury, Rubin? By the way, and I think... I think the fax is online, so like I said, I just walked in here, folks. I've been gone ever since you last heard me in front of this microphone. But I'll be back in just about a minute. I'm going to take the fax offline, then I'll give you the phone number and open the phones. Now I want to talk about Waco. What's going on here? Sam Donaldson? Left wing so far. Left, it's pathetic. Asking pointed questions about Waco? Well, we're going to find out, folks. Don't go away. I got to disconnect the fax. I'll be right back. Let's go right to the phones. Good evening, you're on the air.
Good evening, this is Michelle from Oklahoma.
Hello, Michelle.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
We are glad you're back. They were the best of shows, but hey, there's nothing like the real thing. I saw that deal on, was it David Brinkley Sunday?
Yes.
With Trockman and, what's the guy's name? The one who was griping about the Waco hearings. And Nina Tartenberg from National Public Radio saying we didn't need the Waco hearings.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it just all made me kind of sick. I don't really know what's going on, but there was an article in today's paper about it way back in the back in the Daily Oklahoma. Like on, well, just way back, the headline says, Waco hearings, potential risk, official says. And talking about Representative Bill Zeller, Republican from New Hampshire, who's going to co-chair the hearings that begin on the 19th. But at the very last paragraph, it says, meanwhile, Representative Charles Schumer, Democrat from New York, said he would hold unofficial hearings Tuesday, that's tomorrow, on the dangers of private militia groups.
Who's going to do that?
Schumer. Charles Schumer of New York.
Schumer wouldn't know anything about militia groups, and there's no such thing as private militia groups. He should get out Title 10, United States Code, and the code and constitutions of each of the states, and then he should read the second article and amendment carefully, and also the other bits and pieces of the Constitution that deal with these things. He thinks somebody out here is paying attention to him. The only ones that are the ones that don't count, the stupid sheeple, the ones who never count, as a matter of fact. Are you still there, Michelle?
I'm listening.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
what's happening?
I'm agreeing completely.
Is the socialists have decided Clinton is a liability.
Yes.
And, of course, the Republicans want to make him look as bad as possible, but they don't want to get rid of him. They want him to run for president. The socialists have decided he's such a liability, they want somebody else to run for president. Who? They don't know, but they're in the process of castigating their own man, which means Clinton's on the way out. Dole will die if Clinton gets ousted, because then he'll really have to run against somebody, whoever it is that they're going to put up. It won't be Specter. Specter's a joke.
Well, yeah, Specter doesn't have a chance in, you know, where, of doing anything politically, in my opinion. I think his reputation is pretty much ruined these days.
Yep, that's true.
The one thing that has bothered me the most about the resurrection of the Waco issue is that the mainstream media wants to tie it in so badly with the Oklahoma City bombing, and they are just certain that if we have hearings, it's going to fuel the government hate of all the militias out here and blah, blah, blah. But they've got this ex-FBI guy who's made this psychological profile of McVeigh, and he's decided that McVeigh is not an ideologue, but merely an authority hater. And so that kills the militia connection right there. They can't make up their minds who they really want to accuse.
Well, it doesn't matter who they accuse. They can't hang it on anybody until there's been a trial and somebody's been convicted. The problem is we don't want another Lee Harvey Oswald here.
Absolutely not.
To leave everything hanging up in the air. The problem with all this hate business is nobody hates the government. We love our government. The problem is that somebody has wrested our government away and buried it. This is not our government. This is not a constitutional republic. In fact, if I went through the Constitution, article by article, and clause by clause, I think we would find out that most of the Constitution is not even in effect. In fact, these people laugh at it.
Well, absolutely they laugh at it. And yes, it hasn't been in effect for a long time, and everybody's pretending like it is.
Yeah, and one of the biggest tip-offs is when they castigate constitutionists as the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Constitutionist means you revere and respect and honor the Constitution as the supreme law of the land, which it is. When they label people as the enemy who are constitutionists, what they are saying, ladies and gentlemen, is they hate the Constitution, that they don't like our government. They don't want our government. They're acknowledging that the Constitution is not in effect, and in fact, this is not our government. And we don't hate whatever's there. We just want it to be rectified, to be cleaned up, to be brought back within the law, to be restored, not overthrown.
It would be nice if it could be restored. Oh, can I throw one thing out at you, and I'll throw the line for other callers?
Sure.
With the State Representative Charles Keyes' request for an independent legislative investigation into the bombing, after he brought General Parton in and Galen Winslow in and Ted Gunderson in for a big two-hour-long press conference on the 30th of June. He has been laughed off the face of the earth. The Speaker of the House of the state legislature here has denied his request. And so he says he's carrying on anyway, that the FBI and the feds are covering up. And it would be very helpful to him if anybody who knows anything at all could contact him privately. If you want to be anonymous, I'm sure that'd be okay with him. But he's going to carry on with his investigation regardless of whether he has the backing of the state government or not.
Wonderful. Does he have a phone number where people can reach him incognito, so to speak?
You would have to ask me, would you?
Uh-huh.
I didn't know I was going to tell you that. Can I call you after the show and give it to you and announce it tomorrow? I just don't have it handy.
Yeah, but don't call me right after the show. Like I said, we just walked in here, and as soon as this broadcast is over, we're walking straight out.
Oh, bless your heart. These numbers are probably laying on your desk somewhere at your house, because I know I gave it to you the day you left, and
mm-hmm.
Now I don't have them handy. But just call the Oklahoma State House of Representatives and ask to be connected to Charles Key's office. And then once you're connected with him or his secretary, you can make arrangements to speak to him at any time, at any place, under any condition that's comfortable for you.
That's okay. I'll give the number out tomorrow night,
okay.
And it's so, Charles Keyes.
Yes, K-E-Y, Charles Keyes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Good night, Michelle.
Good night.
Well, folks, you know, driving around, I've been listening to all this talk about the Waco hearings and what it's going to bring out and what it's all about. I've been listening to these people who they're not paying attention. They're not paying attention. They don't even know what happened. Even the people who are supposed experts are all talking about the wrong things. Good evening. You're on the air.
I was mugging an old lady in Central Park when I dropped my cigarette in the dark. Though bruised and hurt, she lifted her head. Those smokes of yours are the worst, she said. Try a Punjab, and I'll be willing to bet you'll want to mug every other cigarette. They're not too dark, they're not too light. Punjab's got that taste, that's right. That's right.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Well, folks, that was Little Poopy Diapers again. You all know Little Poopy Diapers. His mother is running around the country looking for him. Always let them go all the way through just to make the point that there are exactly what I say they are, little poopy diapers. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill. Timing, a funny thing. You're talking about who they're going to run. Starting with the Sunday morning programs, they're pushing this Malcolm Forbes Jr., another capitalist socialist. They're talking about him as the next Wendell Willkie.
Uh-huh.
And with his father's history and, what's his name, Malcolm Steve Forbes. But all week long, that everywhere I turn, I'm hearing this.
Well, he may be the one they've chosen to take over when Clinton is passed down to the prison cell, because that's probably, looks like to me, that's where he might be going.
I think they want someone from a better neighborhood this time.
Without a doubt. They made a terrible mistake with Clinton. But this is going to be just in fact, if they're calling him the modern Wendell Willkie, you remember what Wendell Willkie stood for?
Business.
A business and one world.
Yeah.
He talked about one world government all the time. If that's the correlation, then this guy is going to be history before he starts.
Well, Forbes' father was a world-class jet setter. Elizabeth Taylor, Prince Rainier, you know.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I think he died in mysterious circumstances overseas. And it's an interesting story with the family, the empire, but it's something to look out for.
Okay. Thank you for that piece of information.
You betcha.
And thank you for calling. Ah, the number, for all of those of you who don't have it or don't know it, it's 520-337-2922. That's 520-337-2922. And in some parts of the country, the 520 area code doesn't work for some reason. You can still use 602 if you're in that part of the country, wherever it is. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. Welcome back.
Thank you.
A couple of questions. Do you have a bulletin board back up yet?
No, I was working on that feverishly on the day when the police came in here and
Yeah, I heard you mention it that day. Didn't know whether you'd gotten it back up. Do you have an email address?
For right now, you can reach me through Caji, C-A-J-I, at AOL.com.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, I'll get in touch with you that way. Thank you very much.
Okay, great. 520-337-2922 is the number for those of you who don't have it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Bill? We missed you.
Well, I missed you, too.
That's cool. This is Paul from Brooklyn. I spoke to you a few times.
Uh-huh.
Hey, this is Paul from Brooklyn. I spoke to you a few times. How's everything?
Good.
Good. A couple of things I wanted to add to mention. I just got my copy of The Ugly Truth About the ADL.
Uh-huh.
It took like 3 months to get it. Oh, what an amazing book. I read it in like a day.
Isn't it?
I just couldn't put the thing down.
I wished every Jewish person in America, man, woman, and child, could read that book and understand how they are manipulated by these people.
And
you'll notice, right after an anti-Semitic incident occurs, which they are largely responsible for, an ADL request for donations of funds arrives in the mailbox in all of these Jewish communities, just like clockwork.
Unbelievable. That I didn't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, you know, there's so many things that do end up surfacing in the newspapers, because I'm not even familiar with the Lyndon LaRouche case and everything, but the book, you know, the book really harped on that a lot, so it seemed to be very important.
Yeah, Lyndon LaRouche exposed the ADL's manipulation of the Jews and of the political process through blackmail and through the labeling of somebody as being anti-Semitic. And they also opened up the can of worms and exposed their support of the organized crime that brings dope into this country. And that's really the reason why they're on the case of the black Islamics, is because wherever the nation of black Islam is at, drugs are not there.
You know, it's so interesting that you say that, because I've heard a few, well, I guess there's wackos in every group, but I live down in New York City, so when I'm on the streets in New York, I hear some of these fundamentalists, and they, you know, some of them are talking very militantly. They want to overthrow all of the white people and this and that, but most Islamics that I know are not like that.
Well, what they don't tell you, see, is there are fundamentalist everybodies. There's fundamentalist Jews who thinks the Jews are the superior race and that everybody else should be eliminated. There are fundamentalist blacks who have nothing to do with religion that think the black race is the superior race and want to have a race war and get rid of whitey.
I know.
And there are Orientals who believe that the Oriental race is the only race and they want to get rid of everybody else. Go to Japan and I'll tell you, the Japanese are wonderful people. Their country is wonderful. They are so polite, but underneath all this politeness is one of the most racist groups of people in the world. I lived there 3 years with them.
For naval intelligence?
Pardon?
While you were in the Navy?
No, I went to high school in Japan.
Really?
My father was stationed there.
Oh, that's right. I remember reading that in your book, something to that effect. Yeah.
Yeah, I went to high school there 3 years.
Wow.
It was wonderful. Had a great time. You know, and that's the whole thing between the Koreans and the Japanese. It's racial. Racism is probably the greatest plague that is upon mankind right now. And everybody is being manipulated. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they say they believe. We're all being manipulated.
Well, that's what it seems like, because nobody, you know, I talk to a lot of people, black, white, you know, what have you. And it seems to me that you get down and talk to the blood and guts of, you know, the meat and potatoes people, and they agree with the fact that we shouldn't hate each other, that we should all, you know, come together. I'm not saying it's a one-world government, but I'm saying that people shouldn't necessarily hate each other. Why, you know, what's the point of believing you're superior? What's the point of believing that somehow you're better because you belong to a particular group? Because sooner or later, that particular group may be in the minority, and you may be persecuted.
That's absolutely right.
You know, and it makes no sense. You know, it makes no sense at all.
Well, it makes sense that if you're trying to keep people confused and at each other's throats while you are trying to accomplish something else.
I try to conquer.
Yes.
I wanted to tell you. I spoke to you last time on the radio show, and I forgot to mention it. On the streets of New York City, I saw these little plastic birds, and they fly around. They're awesome. I wanted to send you a couple for your kids.
Really?
Yeah, they're done from the sketches of Da Vinci. They're called ornithopters.
Uh-huh.
And they're really, really incredible. You wind these things up and they fly like 50 yards. They're unbelievable. I figured you're going to probably wind up playing with them more than your kids will.
And they really work?
They really work. Yeah, you know, I mean, I get busted. Dude, that's another thing that proves the Constitution's falling apart. I get busted by the cops trying to sell these little toys on the street.
Uh-huh.
Well, 5 minutes before, some guy comes up to me trying to sell me crack, but they leave them alone, you know?
Well, sure.
You know, it doesn't make any sense. I'm making an honest living trying to work my way through chiropractic school. And
well, you grease the right palms, and they'll let you sell millions of birds, and nobody will bother you.
Unfortunately, though, you grease the wrong palms, you wind up in jail, so I got
to
be...
Yeah, that's why you got to follow a dope dealer around and find out who to give the money to.
No, I don't want to get involved in that, but I know you're kidding. But where do I send these things to? Just,
P.O. Box 1420, Sholo, Arizona, 85901.
Just address them to you?
Yeah.
How many kids do you have?
Just two.
Just two? I thought you had two other kids.
Well, I do. I actually have three other kids, but they don't live with me. It's from previous marriage.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so let me ask you a question. Did you get the vacation at all? During this time off?
Well, we did a little bit, but this was mostly a work trip.
Wow, I could imagine. What about, I think you'd left, I caught you in one of your broadcasts when you had just came back and you just did some traveling and stuff.
That was a vacation. First one in 6 years. We loved it.
Hey, it's about time. Last time I spoke to you, you promised me you were going to take one, but I got the feeling you didn't.
Well, we finally did.
Good, I'm glad. Is issue number 4 of Veritas out yet?
Pardon?
Is issue number 4 of Veritas out yet?
To tell you quite frankly, I've forgotten which number we're on and which ones are out, and you'll need to call tomorrow and talk to somebody.
Oh, that won't, no problem at all. Listen, it was great to talk to you as always, and I'll get those birds out to you as soon as I can.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you for calling.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, let me see here. What have I got to do? I got to do this. Don't go away, folks. I'll be right back.
Someone told me long ago there's a calm before the dawn. I know it's been coming for some time.
Well, folks, the hour of the time is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. Boy, they've been with us for quite a while, through thick or thin. From the burning down of WWCR on the very night that we told the world that if we didn't step in and intervene, they were going to murder everybody in that church down in Waco, Texas. And up comes the investigation here pretty soon, they say. Well, I say it's probably going to be a whitewash, but... You know, you wouldn't have been listening to the Hour of the Time for all these years without Swiss America Trading. I think the first year, Annie and I sold everything we had and paid for this broadcast for as long as we could. And then we began to get nibbles from potential sponsors, and we investigated them all. The only one that passed the test was Swiss America Trading. The only ones that have a buyback policy. The only ones that can offer our listeners something that they really need. And, you know, it's up to you what you get or how you deal with them or what kind of precious metals you put your money into. I have never recommended that you do it on the promise of some profit in the future, but just to protect the assets you have against this inflation and the ultimate collapse that must come. By the way, folks, we're never going to go back to a gold standard. There isn't any gold in Fort Knox. We don't have any gold. But gold will always maintain its value as it always has. It will always be an underground currency. Whoever owns gold in any black market situation is the king of the market. And that's a fact. Not just gold, but of course silver too.
My advice has been that you at least keep some of your assets in precious metals in at least one or more of their various forms. I specifically like small gold or silver coins in the smallest denomination, non-numismatic, or what they call the low-end numismatic, the one that you buy for the value of the gold plus anywhere from a 5 to 15% commission above spot. When you get into the numismatic collector pieces, then you're talking about an investment that depends upon whether or not there are collectors who want to buy that particular coin for their collection. And it depends upon the rarity of the coin, the scarcity, the condition, all of these things. If you're not an expert, you can get in trouble. But if you should want to do this because the potential rewards are very high, right now they're appreciating like crazy. And to tell you the truth, we have some of them in our portfolio, not a lot, because I don't want to get stuck with something that may not be saleable if a crash comes. But that's up to you. If you think there's plenty of time and you want to make some kind of a killing, then numismatic coins of the highest grades are the ones that you want to get into. But that's, like I said, that's up to you. That's not my advice. In fact, I don't give advice. The only thing that I've told you in the past and will tell you tonight and will tell you in the future is that precious metals have always maintained their buying power no matter what the economy has been, and it's a good shelter for your assets in the face of inflation, depression, or collapse. You can't go wrong, but you ain't going to make a killing. You're just going to protect what you have. So, folks, call our sponsor, Swiss America Trading, and talk to them about how you can get your hands on whatever kind of investment in gold or silver coin or gold or silver bullion or any of the other types of precious metals that you so desire. It's 1-800-289-2646. Tell them that you're a listener of the Hour of the Time, and you'll get VIP red carpet treatment, I guarantee it. That's 1-800-289-2646. Also, folks, I back everything that I do. If you have any problems, you feel you weren't treated right, anything, you call me, and I'll be on the horn to Craig Smith, and we'll get it ironed out real, real quick. I also guarantee that. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. You'll be glad that you did. Somebody's been hanging on for a while, if they're still there. Good evening, you're on the air. Well, they're gone. Folks, don't call if you're not going to hold on to the phone, especially if you know that I'm going to go into a commercial break. Don't bother calling if you're not going to hang on. You're just wasting my time, your time, and everybody else's time. Somebody else could have been right in that slot. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes,
Turn your radio.
I wanted to ask you.
Turn your radio off, please.
Excuse me. I wanted to ask you about Stephen Garrett Colburn, the chemist from Arizona that was originally brought in with this net of people, and now he has been dropped from view. He's from Upland, California, and his surname, there's a chemist out there by the name of Donald S. Garrett, who, if he is related to him, might be very significant.
Well, you need to back up and tell us what you're talking about. Brought up with what?
Okay, name? Stephen Garrett Colburn, you have to pardon me because I got choked on something. He was brought in with the original, he was caught in Oklahoma, Arizona, and brought in from and thrown to the ground, and he was a co-conspirator, or at least he was at least indicted as a co-conspirator originally with Tim McVeigh and Nichols, the Nichols brothers.
Uh-huh.
But whereas they have remained in the news very, you know, I mean, you see them all the time. This guy, it was like they pulled in their net someone they weren't supposed to pull in. And he is dropped from the news. I mean, you do not see it.
Also, John Doe number 2 is dropped.
John Doe number 2 is dropped. That is also correct.
Yeah. In fact, they've tried to whitewash John Doe number 2 several times. John Doe number 2 is probably the person who roped in Tim McVeigh, if Tim McVeigh is guilty of having anything to do with it, as the scapegoat.
I just wondered if any of your investigative people had looked into whether this Stephen Garrett Colburn, he was a chemist, and he does have some connections that would fit the profile of someone that might really have some knowledge of being able to do something like this, where some of these other guys are just like they're just kind of have been, you know, kind of set up and hung out to dry, whereas, I mean, this guy, I think, you know, and several people do that are kind of freelance investigators could certainly have pulled off at least the technical part of it, but he's disappeared from view. I wanted to mention in the Los Angeles Times on 6/27/95, there was a short blurb where they mentioned that when Timothy McVeigh was pulled over, that there's a Highway Patrol videotape of this man, Stephen Garrett Colburn, in a brown pickup truck with him, or at the time then drove on. And yet, no one's ever. I mean, this was just a short blurb, like it just like leaked out at one of the people that's an investigative person.
You have it on tape?
I have the. Well, this person would have it on tape, but it is in the LA Times. There's a Times link on the one of the network services a weekend, and this was pulled off the Times link for the LA Times on 6/27/95. And it was an article unrelated on a weapons charge for this guy, Stephen Garrett Colburn. But it mentioned that he had been in a videotape, but his lawyer said he was not involved. But you're going, wait a minute, where did this come from? Why was this not brought out? You know, why isn't this big news?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things that should be big news that aren't. For instance, many, many people heard 2 explosions. That's not big news. The people inside the building were blown out into the street, not back into the back of the building. That's not on the news. I'd like to ask Sam Donaldson some pointed questions.
Well, Sam Donaldson certainly seems to be getting, hearing the other side or getting a religion or something.
No, he's not. What he's doing is towing the Marxist-Socialist line in that they have decided that Bill Clinton's not going to be the next president.
He's going to go down and he's going to start coming in little bits and pieces here.
That's right.
Well, we have missed you greatly, and I'm glad you're back and safe and all that.
Well, thank
and
you.
I did want to mention that Stephen Garrett Colburn should not be forgotten, and there are some connections to Upland, California with another chemist with a very similar name that may be a family member,
mm-hmm.
grandfather, father, whatever, that could be very significant if someone would look into that.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
There's a lot of significant things, folks. For instance, remember I told you that Martin Keating, the governor of Oklahoma's brother, wrote a book called The Last Jihad, in which he talks about a Tom McVeigh who blows up a federal building and is caught speeding away by highway patrolmen, stopping him on a routine traffic stop. And his name is Tom McVeigh. They say this is all coincidence. Now the Secret Service has entered the picture and has asked Martin Keating to change his manuscript in certain areas. I wonder what it is that's going to be changed. I'll tell you what. I would just give just about half of everything that you and I together all own just to have a copy of the original manuscript of that coincidence. Wouldn't you? Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill. You anticipated my question. I was going to ask you just about that book that Martin Keating wrote. Your program is the only program that's had any information about this book, as far as I can tell.
Nobody well, not ever... really. It was covered locally in Oklahoma.
Okay. That book, and I'm not trying to make a pun here, but it seems to me it could blow this Oklahoma thing completely out of the water.
Yeah, it certainly could, but now we're not going to see it, you see, because the Secret Service has demanded that Martin Keating change some parts of the manuscript, and whatever is ultimately published will not be what was originally written.
Well, I was hoping that there might be some way that you could get a hold of that and print it in Veritas, but I guess that can't be.
No, I'd love to, but the only way I could get a hold of it was to steal it, and I'm not a thief, so so that's out.
One question, Bill. I saw John Trotman on that program yesterday with Brinkley. It seemed to me he did a pretty good job. I thought he was pretty good.
Are you sure it was Trotman? Because I heard some people talking today on the radio that it was the head of the militia of Idaho, and that they were calling him the head of the militia of Montana, and he really wasn't. And I heard other people say he was from Montana. I didn't see it now.
They identified him as Trotman, and
well, then it must have been.
And he's the same person that I have seen on other programs identified as Trotman.
Well, if that's true, it'll be the first time that Trotman has made any sense. It'll be the first time that he spoke for himself without what's his name around, Bob Fletcher, who usually speaks for him. And it'll be the first time that anybody from any militia outside the Second Continental Army of the Republic ever did anything right. And if that was really Trotman, then for the first time, I have to say that he did a good job.
Well, one word I would like to get out to any militia members that might be listening, if anybody puts a microphone in front of them or if they're tempted to go on some of these programs, the five militia members who spoke before that Senate Committee of Armed Inspector here a couple of weeks back.
We're a disgrace.
Well, I can tell you that the local media, at least here in Austin, Texas, they reported that night on local ABC affiliate here. They led into that story, and it was their lead story, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
They said, U.S. senators were attacked by militia terrorists in Washington today. That was their actual lead into that story.
Yeah, well, you see how far these Marxist traitors will go, don't you?
There's no way that the militia is going to get any fair reporting in the media, no matter how careful they try to be.
No, and especially until they learn what to say, how to say it, when not to say it, and never allow themselves to be taped.
Well, I sure hope that somehow, some way, some of your intelligence people can turn up a copy of that book. That would be wonderful.
Well, we'll certainly try, but if we can't get it by any legal means, we won't get it.
Keep up the good work, Bill.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Yeah, from all reports that I've heard, if that was Trotman yesterday for the first time, he did a good job. And if he did a good job, he deserves commendation for that, and I applaud him heartily. It appears that he got in some good licks. It appears that he didn't let himself get baited. It appears that he had good answers for a change. And maybe he's learning something. And it's a good thing he left Fletcher back, because I've never heard Fletcher say anything to the press that was the right thing to say. He always holds up pictures of Russian tanks and stupid things like that. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, this is Doug from Raymond, Washington. I was watching TV the other day, and the congressman that's going to chair the Waco hearings was asked a question, why they want to rehash something that's already been investigated. And he said he was concerned about the military equipment used at Waco, and he said he was concerned about the Bradley fighting machines.
Mm-hmm.
And the tanks equipped with fire-throwing equipment.
Yes.
And I think that might vindicate Linda Thompson a little bit.
Linda Thompson has never been other than vindicated in my eyes. I have backed her wholeheartedly from the beginning right up to today. The only problem I've ever had with her is sometimes she's a little impulsive in her actions. But she has been right on the money since the beginning. And if she made any mistakes, they were mistakes. They were never intentional. It's thanks to her that they're going to have hearings on Waco, because if it had not been for Linda Thompson and for my reporting directly from Waco, Texas, nobody in this nation would have ever given a damn about Waco, Texas. And that's the truth. And everybody out there who cares what happened to those people, old Linda Thompson, thanks from the until the day they die, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you know, I'm sure that the New Hampshire congressman wouldn't have made this statement about the fire-throwing equipment unless he had evidence of it.
That's correct. And he wouldn't have made that statement unless Linda Thompson and others had pinned the feds to the wall about that equipment and about how that fire started. By the way, our people who were downwind on the day that the fire started could smell nothing but petroleum, burning petroleum fumes in the air, like an oil fire. That's what they smelled.
What's Bobo Grice going to say? No insulation, huh?
I have no idea.
Okay. He's the one that said there was insulation on the tank, no fire.
Yeah, well, from what I understand, you're correct in your assessment. But
okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Next.
Thank you for calling. But don't think, folks, that they're going to get to the bottom of anything. Whenever Congress has an investigation, it's generally to throw the public a few bones to get the wolves off their tail and say, well, we investigated, here's what we found, and these heads are going to roll, and that's the end of it. And that's what they always do. And I'll bet you this is going to be no different whatsoever. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. Richard from California.
All right.
Does CAGI have the release transcripts published by the New York Times in 1993 where the FBI informant admitted that he built the bomb for the World Trade Center bombings?
Do we have it?
Yes.
I'll tell you the truth, I don't know if we have or not, but if you have it, I would appreciate your sending it to us.
I don't have it, but I got a, it was published in the National Educator, which is from your old town, that these tapes had to be made public based on a judge's ruling, which is surprising, but...
That's correct. All we have is bits of pieces that were published in the New York Times itself. They published parts of transcripts from the tape, and that's it.
That might be an interesting article to put out in Veritas if anyone can find those. It was supposedly published October 93 in the New York Times, and maybe I can go to the library and take a look. But that would be...
You can get it. Some of our people have done just exactly that, and they have their own copies.
That would be great to put out in its complete form. And that way, perhaps, the FBI can start to investigate Oklahoma more thoroughly.
You're talking about the fox investigating the wolf cooking the chicken, and I don't think that's going to work.
Well, maybe a citizen's grand jury can look at it. Keep up the good work. Oh, Bill?
When the citizens figure out how to have a grand jury, that thing in Wichita, Kansas was not a grand jury, not even close.
It wasn't, huh?
No. It had nothing to do with common law or grand jury. They violated everything.
I saw the full 3 hours on the militia hearings on C-SPAN. In fact, I have a copy of the tape. They came out pretty well.
Well, we have a copy of the tape, too. They didn't talk about what they should have talked about. They didn't talk about the points of law. They didn't talk about the tradition and fine history of the militia in this country, saving our butts over and over and over again. They didn't talk about the times that the militia actually maintained law and order in the face of complete societal breakdown in some instances of the history of this country. They didn't talk about all of the things that they should have been talking about, and they didn't go on the offensive and pin those senators to the wall with their crimes like they should have done. Remember the old adage, defense can never be maintained for any length of time. You must attack your enemy or you are doomed.
That's right. The best defense is an offense.
That's correct.
I thought they should have nailed him a little bit harder, especially Spector when he started out with the right to keep and bear arms.
Yeah, and especially
being a militia thing, which
And especially when they held up that poster put out by the Jews for the preservation of firearms ownership.
That was great.
And used it as an example of the racism of the militia. Here's a poster that shows Hitler raising his right hand. Down at the bottom it says, "All in favor of gun control, raise your right hand." It's a parody. It's a satire on Hitler's disarming the German people and what happened to the Jews and the Poles and the Gypsies and the Christians and everybody else because of it. And it was put out by the Jews for the preservation of firearms ownership. And that clown, Spector, and what was the other guy's name?
Cole.
Held that up to the sheeple of America who could not read the words on the poster and said it was a fine example of the racism of the militias.
Yeah, that was absolutely amazing that we think these people have information. I'm a member of that group, JPFO.
Yeah.
And
well, we're going to nail Spector on that. He doesn't know what's coming. But
We know that Spector is in the hands of the ADL, is he not?
Yeah, Spector is a socialist. So is Schumer.
Oh yeah. I haven't watched anything on.
They're puppets. You listen to them and watch them.
Yeah, even the snake out here really made an ass of herself when she was questioning those punk cops beforehand. Did you hear that part of it?
What was that?
Oh, she kept asking.
Who?
Fine Snake.
You mean Feinstein?
Yeah.
You got to remember that you people are listening out there who don't know what you're talking about. Sometimes I don't either.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's kind of what we call her out here, but. She made a complete ass of herself when she was questioning all those punk cops, especially the highway patrolman and that jerk from Maricopa County, asking if they had to have more laws. And she actually suggested that anyone that would even teach somebody something as simple as martial arts would be a criminal, and that would be outlawed.
Well, I hope that nothing ever happens to her where she needs to defend herself. Because if she does, I take that back. A socialist demonstrates such a great degree of stupidity that I don't think she'd even learn from that.
I think she's pretty well off with probably 15 agents around her armed with machine guns and bulletproof glass and tunnels to go underground in and everything else.
But they need to be in jail. Somebody taught them martial arts and they're carrying guns, aren't they?
Exactly. Even if you teach someone to shoot.
Oh, shame. For shame, shame.
The question was...
Oh, naughty, naughty, naughty.
The question was the most repulsive thing I'd ever heard in my life. And once again, it shows the intelligence of the citizens of, or the subjects of California.
Mm-hmm.
So keep up the great work. Wonderful talking with you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good night. Well, got time for 2, 3, maybe 4 more calls. 520-337-2922 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. It's Dave in Albuquerque.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, did you catch any of the Waco tapes they've been playing? The supposed tapes from the transcripts of the discussions between Koresh and some of the people in the...
I played them all in this broadcast.
Okay, well, these are the ones that were supposedly in the milk cartons that they... sent into the kids, and they purport to show...
Oh, no, I haven't played those because the only ones that have them are the FBI.
Yeah, well, they played them on Nightline, and I heard some transcripts of them on some of the morning talk shows.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that the... they purport to have the people talking about spreading kerosene through the halls.
Well, let me...
And they said the only reason that they couldn't... They didn't use it. Well, why didn't, when you heard them live, why didn't you go in the stop? They said, well, we had to digitally enhance the tapes before we could hear what was there.
What I was going to say is I wouldn't believe anything that they played unless I had the original tapes and could put them on a computer and make sure that they had not been tampered with.
Well, tampered with them. They said they had to digitally enhance them, I guess.
Are edited and spliced or digitally enhanced or anything else. I'd want to hear the raw tapes, and that's the only tapes that they should be playing for the American
people. Yeah, well, I thought that was the giveaway, that they said they had to digitally enhance them to understand what was on them.
Yeah, anything that's digitized, as far as I'm concerned, is phony, faked.
Right.
Videotape, I don't care what it is. If it's been digitized, you know that somebody's played with it.
Right. Well, thanks.
You're welcome.
Bye.
And they can also take folks, and the intelligence community has had this capability for many years, and I think I talked about it over 2 years ago. They have the capability to take samplings of people's voices, put them through a computer, and make conversation that never took place. And anybody that hears it will swear that it's the person talking when it's not them at all. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Bill Cooper.
And by the way, that doesn't mean that they don't have tapes where they were talking about spreading kerosene around. I'm just telling you that if it's been messed with, you can't go on. Yes, it is.
Yeah, a couple of things. What you're talking about on digital sound editing,
mm-hmm.
Do quite a bit of that for law enforcement agencies. And when I saw on... Ted Koppel the other night, they were it looked very much and sounded very much like re-edited conversation, wherein they tried to demonstrate that Koresh supposedly said at one point that they had killed a baby, and then later came up and said a few days later that here he is denying it. And that conversation, although I can't prove it at this point, but I do have other conversations on tape of Koresh from the earlier broadcasts, And I believe that the segment that they put in there, they have an agent saying, well, you said something about killing a baby. And then he says, no, I never said that. Well, when he says, no, I never said that, that phrase was, I believe, taken from another part of a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
That aside, what I really called about was, earlier they were talking about the ugly truth about the ADL
yes.
book. I had also read in Eustace Mullins' The World Order that the ADL was actually started by Lord Palmerston back in late 1830s, as a division of the British SIS, Special or Secret Intelligence Service, and that its primary purpose was to protect and defame, protect the name of Rothschild, the House of Rothschild, the Bank of England, which is under the Rothschilds' control, and that their primary purpose is to interfere with anyone who gets onto the Rothschilds by throwing the anti-Semitic label at them. And that that the ADL also functioned as basically an early form of covert intelligence operations that included assassinations, bombings, and everything else.
They still do those things.
I agree with you. I find it rather curious in the wake of the bombing of Oklahoma that at first they tried to blame the Arabs, then they tried to blame and smear the patriot community and the militia, and now that isn't going to apparently...
Now they're shifting back to the Arabs.
Over to Japan.
Yeah, but we're running out of time, so I got to cut you off. But they're shifting back to the Arabs. They didn't go over to Japan. That's a total phony scam job.
Yeah, I know.
That was meant to discredit the patriots who bid on it, and some of them, I'm sorry to say, did bite on it and were rightfully discredited.
Well, quick comment for you. Cut me off here.
Hurry up.
British Bank of England and the Rothschilds own the United States Treasury Department. The ATF, the Secret Service, are both branches of the Treasury, and that's where our problems as a nation are coming from, both in the Gestapoization.
I got to cut you off. We're out of time. And I'm not sure I agree with that. I know that the Treasury Department was created by the Treaty of Bretton Woods. It comes under the International Monetary Fund, which is a branch of the United Nations. That's what I know, and I can prove it. Good night, folks, and God bless each and every single one of you. Don't miss tomorrow night.